Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Boys Town with Aaron. Today I have Pete Quinones, and he has graciously come on to join me in the Boys Town with Aaron Juneteenth Pride Month Holocaust Memorial Extravaganza. Thank you for coming on, Pete.
Thank you. All those things sound fake.
Huh. I know. Weird, right?
Strange.
I want to preface this episode with a question, and I think you and I both have very similar thoughts on it. What do we do about people that actively supported the lockdowns and the mask mandates?
Highway overpasses?
Hmm. So long-term goal, yes. What should we do in the short term, and what can we do?
Well, torture's out. I don't know. What are you thinking?
Well, I tend to take a more heuristic approach because I'm autistic. I think you need to break down every struggle in terms of the process. And what I see happening now, the impetus seems to be to end communication. End any type of earnest communication with people that we can't reach, that don't want to be reached, and rot destruction.
I mean, I'll take it one step further. I mean, we don't have to ignore them. I mean, we can harass them. We can ridicule them. We can just, make them as uncomfortable as possible in the meantime.
How have we been doing with that? How do you see that progressing? Because I think a lot of people are starting to take that approach or starting to see the utility.
I mean, I'm trying as hard as I can. Yesterday I found myself getting into an argument with a leftist and arguing from the left with them and, really shaming them. And I was just like, I don't think this is the way to go. I mean, they're just going to run away. And I really should have just doubled down on, calling them a retard and, pointing out that they're white and that they aren't even accepted in those circles. And I should have went there, but I didn't. I felt like I needed to be, an intellectual for 5 minutes, because I really haven't been much of an intellectual on Twitter lately.
And why is that, can I ask?
Oh, because I would like to see many members of the Libertarian Party in pain. And basically most of my tweets have been directed at people associated with the Libertarian Party proper.
It's funny because last year, I feel like our circle in the Liberty movement was kind of adrift. We've always had a general hostility towards the status quo. Even within the Liberty movement, we've all had a hostility towards moderates and centrists. And I think the direction I see this taking is ramping that up, and for the better, starting to take over institutions.
Yeah, and that has to happen. I mean, that was what the Bolsheviks wanted to do, right? Wanted to get a hold of some institutions and maybe use them to punish their enemy, put out a competing narrative. And that's what we're looking to do, basically. And I think that with what happened in New Hampshire, unity is finally dead.
And oh, thank God.
It couldn't die quick enough. I mean, that was just a fool's errand from the beginning. They didn't realize just how many woke progressives and neoliberals and just how much, how many glowies are in the Libertarian Party at the moment. And that needed to be shown. And I think it's pretty clear to a lot of people now. And I think a lot of people have gotten to the point where they feel like people in the Libertarian Party have violated the non-aggression principle. And if they've violated the non-aggression principle, gloves come off.
Can you, I guess it's impossible to ask not to get into the mundane details, but can you give us a quick overview of what exactly happened in the LPNH?
Sure. There was this thing last week where they expelled a member. I mean, and she was just a horrible, horrible person. I mean, I had interactions with her and she was just terrible. And she had doxxed the chair, who is a preg. I mean, the chair is a preg. So they, you know, saw that she doxxed somebody, took it as an opportunity to kick her out of the party. But what they didn't know, we didn't know at the time, was that the day before, and much further before that, obviously, there was a plan to that the chair of the National Party was going to declare the chair of the New Hampshire Party, that she could basically start a new affiliate. And that affiliate that she would start would be the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire, and everyone else, which is mostly Mises Caucus people, because they basically took over New Hampshire, they would be unaffiliated with the Libertarian Party. And there was a meeting last night, virtual, of course, because if it would have been in person, there may have been some problems. And I think I see that as being the future now, especially if these people stay in power. They came together to find out what the hell happened in New Hampshire and how could this happen. And then the chair of the party, Joe Bishop Henchman, amazing, just amazing that that's his name. He said, okay, we need a vote as to whether basically we are going to kick the, I think they call it disaffiliate, or I forget what it is, basically kick New Hampshire out of the Libertarian Party National. And they got the votes to do it. So wow. Basically, as you, when you wake up now, when people woke up this morning, there was no real Libertarian, official Libertarian Party in New Hampshire. And yeah, there are people who are taking this as, okay, well, the gloves are off now. And
yeah, when you think
it seems
of
like
how
some
much...
of them are taking some of them are actually like probably reading stuff that I've written as to like maybe find out a way to handle all this.
Yeah. In a way it's encouraging that you're starting to see these people that define themselves based on how principled they are, becoming more Machiavellian. I mean, that's what I gathered. And I think you said it too. I'm kind of proud of them.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing is, they just did it wrong. They're not, they just pull leftist. Yeah, they're doing things like leftists do, but they're not doing them properly. So they just jump too far. They reach too far. But like one thing that they did was they always said when all this started, when Dave came out and was like, okay, we're going to recruit, we're going to take over the Libertarian Party. You know, there were a couple people, and I may have been one of them included, who started using the word purge. That some people are going to have, you know, some people, the most vile, you know, all the trans rights activists who put that above individuality, everybody who has like some kind of group, you know, pet group bullshit. Yeah, they just need to go. And they hated that. Oh my God, it was terrible and everything. But you know, but what happened? They decided, you know, these leftists decided, okay, well, if they're going to purge, we think that's wrong. So let's purge. And they turn around, you know, it's like, or, what does Bird always say? Imagine if it was the other way around or something.
Yeah.
that thing. Yeah. It's like, I mean, well, and then you can tell that they're leftists because they don't care about any consistency whatsoever. And that's pretty much the left in this country. So it's like,
yeah, that's the one redeeming quality that they have.
Yeah. Is the fact that they're Machiavellian. But the problem is they, the Libertarian Party does not have the kind of power to, you know, if some group wanted to actually physically take over a state party, what are they going to do? What could they do? It's not like the DNC or the RNC. What are they going to do?
Divert funds to private security, I guess.
Private drones.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what I see happening is both sides are radicalizing. Only one side is radicalizing faster than the other, but that is balanced out by the fact that, you know, the Mises Caucus doesn't have very many people on top, if I understand it correctly.
Yeah.
But it's definitely the bottom of the pyramid.
But they have the numbers, and that's the thing, is that right now, if you were to probably look at dues paying members in LP National, I would assume the majority, and at this point it might be overwhelming majority, are Mises Caucus. And they basically have to get to the point where they take over the party completely. I mean, like, literally just they are in charge. No one can do anything. This whole idea of, we'll take over everything, but, you know, we'll, as an olive branch, we'll let the chair be a prag or something like that. Yeah, that's not going to fly anymore. They just have to basically take over everything and run the show. And
absolutely,
you know, if there are troublemakers, there are excuses that you can find to expel troublemakers from any organization in the world.
So we've seen their tactics on the ground as far as doxing, contacting employers, tactics like that. It's more like economic warfare is their favorite tool. What will our favorite tool, what do you see our favorite tool becoming in the long run? Is there any way we can mitigate that?
Well, I mean, the Mises Caucus is bringing in a lot of money. I mean, it is bringing in so much more money than it was 6 months ago. I mean, it's over doubled on a monthly basis. And so, you know, we don't have Dr. Kyle Varner CIA money, but there is money coming in. And I think the tack that's going to happen is just a tack of, this is ours. And if you want to take it from us, we're going to fight for it. And I mean, that may turn into something like a standoff. I mean, it would be, I would love, you know, it'd be great. The Mises Caucus, if they went to Porkfest and they like just lined up on the entrances and said, if you're not Mises Caucus, you can't get in. We don't care that you have a ticket.
Yeah.
That would be pretty wild.
Give them a litmus test for membership.
Yeah. That'd be pretty wild.
Yeah. This idea that you can disaffiliate a state libertarian organization and basically take your ball and go home and fuck everybody out of money. It's that money problem that they have, because when you start fucking with people's money, then they're doing the radicalization for us. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much are dues, $20 a month, $10 a month.
No, it's $25 a year. And so, and you know, there are people who will, see, most of the people that I know, they're not giving monthly to the Libertarian Party. They're giving monthly to the Mises Caucus.
Mm.
So, I mean, and that may be another one of the other problems they have is that you have all these people coming in, getting the basic membership, $25 a year for the National Party. I think it's $35 for the State Party here in Georgia. But anybody who would feel inclined in the Mises Caucus to give money monthly is going to give it to the Mises Caucus and not give it to the LP, because they understand the LP needs to change. And they most of the people I know hate giving the $25 because it's going into the hands of people that they can't stand.
Yeah, that makes sense. If you can direct funds towards people you like, obviously you want to do that. And deny the people that you don't like any access to funding. What do you think about Dave Smith versus Justin Amash?
Well, I mean, I would...
If there is a such thing.
Oh, you mean if it came down to those two, like in running for president, in running for the nomination in 2024? Or are you just talking about ideologically?
As far as any type of leadership role in the party, I see a lot of overlap, especially with the more moderate Mises Caucus members. They tend to think favorably of Justin Amash. And Dave Smith obviously has a very loyal following of, you know, people who are already anarchists, anarcho-capitalists, whatever.
Well, I know when Amash put that tweet out today, that I think it was a 3-tweet thread, and you were just like hammering him in the private chat and everything. It's like, I like the first one, because the first one was him basically saying to Joe Bishop Henchman and Nick Sarwak and Valerie Sarwak and all their legion up there, the 13 people that in New Hampshire that set this whole thing up. He was basically saying that's not going to fly. Now, say what you want. Politically, right now, Justin Amash holds more sway than Dave Smith. So Dave Smith can get on Twitter and talk about how this is wrong and everything. And then you have, you know, Andy Gay, telling, you know, who blocked me today after I pointed out the fact that, you know, he like his whole online life, his whole online persona is of somebody who gets thrown into a locker. And I asked him how his real life persona like made its way online and everything. And so he blocked me. But, you know, you have people like that who just go after Dave. But if Amash says something, what are these people going to turn on Amash? And they just might, you know, maybe that radicalizes Amash a little bit, but it won't. It's not going to radicalize Amash. But I mean, I'm willing to, you know, I'm with Dave. I like Dave's message. I wish he was, the unity thing has to, in my opinion, has to go. But, you know, Dave's my guy. And when Amash says something good, I'm going to use it however I can as a bludgeon against anyone that I can. And when he says something bad, I'm going to let him know that he said something bad. So he like put that 3-tweet thread, and the first tweet I was like, all right, that's good. And the second, the next two are just like, oh, fucking shit, man.
The first tweet, the thread was like, okay, enemy of my enemy. Maybe. The second and third tweet, you know, this whole, our goal is to win elections.
Yeah.
You know, maybe locally, sure. The idea of the Libertarian Party being a serious contender in the national elections and, you know, directing their resources and time towards accomplishing that, that just seems, I don't know,
well,
counterintuitive to me.
If you were going to, like, say Amash ran for president, he got the nomination. He's the Libertarian Party nominee. Okay. No one from the left is voting for him. Okay. Because they're going to be voting for Kamala. No one from the right is voting for him. Do you think a Trumper is going to vote for somebody who voted to impeach Trump?
Once again, the best he can hope for is to be a spoiler for the populist right.
Yeah.
If the GOP puts up a populist right wing candidate, Amash might be a spoiler to them. Hopefully right wing populists are just as done with the libertarians as they were the last couple elections.
Yeah.
You know, this whole Thoe Bishop strategy, it kind of opened a new space in my brain of things to start thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
And, I generally am in favor of a paleo 2.0 strategy.
Yeah. I don't see everybody says, oh, well, it didn't work in the 90s. Well, it wasn't. You didn't have Trump. You're not coming post Trump.
There's no comparison.
I mean, and here's another thing that, like, you know, you will not get one of the libertarians and or the vile rat fucks to admit that Trump changed everything. I mean, he did. He changed the game.
He fundamentally
changed the game. So the paleo strategy, well, I mean, as Dr. Kyle Varner says it, you know, where you're just out there trying to recruit Klansmen. No, that's not what that is at all. It's to basically advertise all the best parts of libertarianism to the right and find out where we have common ground. And, you know, also, I am completely not against, you know, like people in Florida going to DeSantis and saying, okay, you're going to legalize the libertarians in Florida going to DeSantis and saying, okay, medical marijuana is over. You're going to legalize weed. You're going to give them a list of shit, or we're going to run a right winger against you. and we're going to take as many votes away from you as possible.
Absolutely, especially if DeSantis has presidential aspirations. I mean, the only power we have nationally is as a spoiler in certain battleground states.
Yeah.
And that should be leveraged.
Yeah.
If we didn't leverage that, we'd be idiots.
Well, definitely leverage it in a governor race, because it's easier for him to do things on a state level than it is on a national level. So he can, you know, just do all these decrees and everything like that. I mean, he can do that nationally too, but you know, you're going to get a lot more pushback nationally than you will, you know, statewide. Basically, he's at this point, he's the king of Florida. I mean, he's doing what he wants. He's just, I think he wakes up in the morning, he's like, got this list, and he's like, all right, let's school prayer is okay. Check. Let's do this. Yep. And then you have two people like Todd Agopian who are like, oh my God, he's a dictator. And it's like, when you look at the list of the things that Todd like listed, I mean, none of those things were like in a libertarian society, those would be permissible by the free market and everything. So it just seems like he's opening up the free market. Yeah. Like, he's protecting some individual rights, and you know, I mean, get rid of critical race theory teaching, you know, in school. Sure. I mean, I know that it's probably not going to be even enforced or anything like that, but still, just put it out there. Create some chaos.
It's symbolic. A lot of it's symbolic.
Yeah. Create some chaos.
I mean, Trump's whole presidency was nothing but symbolic measures.
Sure. And now, so Trump had this presidency of symbolic measures where he really accomplished nothing, but there's a whole section of people out there who really wanted him to accomplish something. So, I mean, maybe now is the time to do it, because you don't have somebody who is as vile and hated as Trump. I mean, maybe maybe DeSantis will get there, but you know, who knows? I think he's saying he was sending National Guard troops to the Mexican border today or something.
Yeah,
like that. You know, just fucking, it's retarded. And it does point towards like a presidential run, but
he got permission.
They're not going
to
complain.
He got permission from Kamala the second she went down to Guatemala and straight up told them, we will turn you around at the border.
Exactly. Exactly. So he can't be called a racist, because then you have to call Biden and Harris a racist. I mean, they can still call him a racist because they don't give a fuck. I mean, they're
leftists will, liberals won't.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Neoliberal center is going to be all over it. But, you know, real radical leftists would definitely be there. I mean, red pilled leftists.
Yeah. What do you see happening at Pork Fest? Me and you are going to be there hand in hand.
I'm going to be on a panel talking about documentary filmmaking. There's going to be a showing of my documentary, and I'm going there to just relax, hit the vape all the time, and chill. But as I just wrote in an article today that I'll release tomorrow, there may be some people going there who have no chill, and they may be going to look for people who they feel like have wronged them. And I'm there for that. I'm there for that. I'm there. My camera is going to be going. S21 is a great camera. You'll be able to see everything.
I've put it out a couple times that one of two things are going to happen. I'm going to be kicked out or arrested within 5 minutes of getting there, or I'm going to have a good time and listen to Tom Woods talk on acid.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. I think I'm just going to be high the whole time I'm there, but, yeah, that sounds good too. I don't know that I could trip around that many people. I normally, when I trip, I like to be around like one or two people, and those people have to be tripping too. So yeah, that's my history with it. But if the rat fucks wanted to see violence at Pork Fest, I mean, they are setting it up that there may be some people who go there who really are fucking pissed off, and they're looking for, you know, they're looking for a pound of flesh.
And again, that points to them turning to the right direction, because a year ago that would have been incomprehensible.
But I mean,
if we've pushed them to violence, then I mean, we might end up being friends with them.
Well, I don't know that the left people will be violent, but I mean, the Mises Caucus has been recruiting, you know, some veterans, and you know, it's not, the Mises Caucus has some bow tie wearing people, but not a lot.
Mm.
Yeah. They seem to be.
Yeah. It seems to be a very blue collar core.
Yeah. So
for better or worse.
So, you know, and young too, people who might have, you know, might lack the kind of chill, somebody that what my experience has. And
some people whose prefrontal lobes maybe aren't as developed as they should be.
Sure. And you don't
might affect their decision-making process.
Sure. And you don't know what can happen. And then you just have to have your camera ready and you're, you know, ready to go. And, yeah, I mean, we could have friggin' imagine Porkfest on WorldStar.
Oh my That'd God. It would be, amazing. That would probably be terrible. Actually.
Holy shit.
Man. Just seeing a bunch of fat white people trying to throw haymakers and missing.
Oh man. Getting tired so quick. Yeah. anyone who's in shape, who's ever been in like a street fight knows that like 30 to 45 seconds, you're just like, oh my God, I'm so tired. Yeah. I'm just going to quit.
I feel like you got hit by a truck. Well, that's all I got. Do you want to plug anything?
Sure. Free Mammy on the Wall podcast, Substack by any means necessary. That's where all the incendiary shit goes to. And follow my Twitter. People have told me that my Twitter lately has been a little out of control. Hey, I even made the evidence folder for the reason that they were going to. One of my tweets made the evidence folder for the reason they were kicking out the New Hampshire Libertarian Party members and everything like that. I was like, wow, that's cool. That's not even like the most incendiary tweet I've ever had. Not even close. And it's sort of like in the bottom, you know, half percentile.
The goal is to change that into the clout folder.
Yeah, exactly. It's so funny because people are looking through the folder and they're like, man, most of those are based. What's wrong with you people? You know, I appreciate you, Aaron. Thanks.
All right, man. Yeah, thank you for coming on.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Juneteenth. You're in Boys Town with Aaron. Today I have Jose Gallison on for my Juneteenth Pride Month Holocaust Memorial extravaganza. Welcome, Jose.
Hey, what's up? It's Gallison. You have to put a little ethnic stank
Gallison?
On it.
And is it two can... L's?
It's one L. So.
Oh, all right. Because if it was two L's, that would be gay. Gay,
yeah, it's a made up name, but it's, you know, I identify as Hispanic, so.
Oh, so you didn't dox yourself?
No.
Amazing.
No. I'll have to tell you after recording my real name is. It's actually kind of funny when you know what this name is.
It can't be any worse than mine, which is not actually Aaron.
No? Oh, okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
It's like Aaron spelled with an E instead.
Y-R-U-N. So I had you on today because I wanted to ask you a question that I've been pondering myself. It's a very complex question. I had Pete on earlier and he, you know, me and Pete pretty much agree on everything. And I think we were talking before this and me and you pretty much agree on everything too. And yet we still kind of diverge in different directions as far as tactics go. That question that I want to ask is, what do we do about people who have supported the mask mandates and lockdowns throughout the last year and a half?
Ignore and ridicule, depending on the situation. Or ridicule. I mean, it depends. When we're talking tactics, it depends. So if we're online, you know, I'm totally ignore or ridicule. I personally like the tact of ridicule, then ignore. Because it's like you just get them worked up, and then you don't give them the dignity of actually interacting with them. Mm. I don't know. I guess I have been very much a proponent of division as of late. But then at the same time, people accuse me of being a unity bro. But I'm like, well, there's kind of unity in division. So like that's kind of where I'm coming from. Like, absolutely. I want to drive a wedge, whether it's physically, philosophically, you know, rhetorically, in any way I can between people on my team and people not on my team. And
there's
like,
nothing, you know, like you and your homies going out and lining up people against the wall.
Yeah. Nothing brings you together like that. But
so you brought up a good point. This is part of the complexity of this question is you have an approach that you mentioned your approach online, and that's ridicule and then ignore. What about offline?
Offline?
About meat space?
Offline, I know it sounds like, I mean, basically agorism. Like, I think you should be doing everything you can, and I think it's, obviously it's a spectrum. Like, you do what you can do. So, like, to be as independent as possible, to keep as much of your shit as possible. Essentially, like, basically agorism. Like, if you can, you know, fucking develop a side hustle that is, you know, fucking not giving money to the government, like, you know, I'm all for, like, holler, like, if anything, clamor for stimmies. If anything, to that extent, like, politically, if you want to, like, kind of advance that rhetoric, I'm all for that. Like, you know, like, let's have them speed up their demise, and you can take that money and make yourself more independent to get you and your kind into a spot where you are. Because, like, my thing is, like, I think we've been propagandized into believing that it's, that, like, this idea of nationalism, and it even pervades our thoughts as liberty folks, to where we're, like, we have this stupid idea that we're like, well, we're going to fucking save the goddamn nation. It's like, no, like, your shit is not fucking popular. Like, and that doesn't mean that you can't prosper in places or prosper more in some places than other places. So it's like, I mean, I'm an anarchist, but, like, at the same time, like, if I can find some place to, like, Florida or Texas to move to, and they're like, you know, it's chill and they leave me the fuck alone. I mean,
it's okay to have preferences.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, anarchy is just kind of like a, really, I see a lot of times, like, a mindset of, like, I'm going to do what the fuck I want to do. And, like, and I don't see a cop as, you know, authority. I see him as a dude with a gun that I don't want to get shot by. You know what I mean? Like, and so the more I can get more of, like, what I would consider anarchy, the better. So the less I'm around people who want to kill me. Like, that's really all it comes down to. Or would have any reason to kill me and get away with it, you know?
I would agree with that. I think you hit on something a little bit there as far as accelerating the process. And that would be the only reason to get even tangentially involved in national politics or local politics is to accelerate the process. This is something I've been my one and only time where I'm comfortable being approachable and nice is when I'm talking to agorists about the strategy of acceleration. And you can't have acceleration in this culture, this paradigm that we live in. The political component is probably the most important part of acceleration. It's not an overnight process. It's something that, you know, like me and Pete and everybody else say, like, you got to push people, push them a little bit, push them a little bit, and then finally kick them off the ledge into completely having zero faith in earnest participation. And
yeah, I get that. I had a point there, but I kind of blanked out. But I do think, like, some of, like, well, I remember what I was going to say. I think one thing I brought up a lot, too, is, like, I think agorism, even using that approach, in a way, it actually has an effect. It's, like, it's weird because it's, like, if I can get 10% of the people in my county to not vote, like, and I convince them not to vote, that, in a sense, kind of has a political effect. And I actually think that political effect is arguably accelerating. You know what I mean? Like, the more we convince people to not even interact to that regard, to just ignore them as this fucking retarded thing off in the fucking edge, you know, like, the state, like, the better. And even then, I also think, too, by me being as hardcore like that, I think to some extent that's kind of the Overton window thing. Like, when I talk to someone who's a normie and I, like, I mean, obviously I'm going to tailor how I talk to them for the most part. But me being so extreme, I feel like that kind of weirdly in a way normalizes it for, like, the people who are like the Mises Caucus people or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like kind of like you ask for 100 and they give you 80, like, whatever. Because I definitely do see, like, the Mises Caucus folks as less harmful or like even a, like, a, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm looking at liberty as this, like, fucking sliding scale one way or another, I would prefer somebody to be going that route as opposed to being, like, a Democrat. I mean, there's an interesting argument about which is better, like, going, like, Republican route or Libertarian. I'm actually been kind of, like, thinking about that one a lot lately, too. Yeah. Although it's ironic because I'm an agorist, so it's, like, it's kind of the concept of, like, you know, how people bring up that monarchy is better than democracy, but it's, like, obviously we prefer anarchy. So it's, like, well, I feel like I'm having that same argument when I argue with the Republican.
Yeah, you said earlier, you know, it's okay to prefer to want to live in Texas or Florida.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's, like,
that has a cultural component to it.
Yeah.
And that's really my one critique of agorism is that it's, you know, ignoring the state is not a pathological stance. Now, harassing the state, consistently and constantly hammering the state in any way you can, that has a pathological, like a viral component to it. Being a cancer. And that's exactly, I mean, I'm not, I've said it before, I'm not 100% in on the Mises Caucus. I look at them from afar and I'm like, all right, good job. But I don't like want to get in any official involvement or anything like that, because I too despise politics. I would rather cut my fucking nuts off than run for an office.
We were talking before, though. I think one of the main reasons is I actually think that I was saying, me and you would agree on a lot. And if I magically had this idea that I think we could like take hold of a party and do this and then do this other thing and so on and so forth, they're like, okay, maybe there's a case to be made. But my problem is I think there's like an incentive problem in politics in general, there's a reason why we end up with these fucking pussies that end up in politics. And it's like, it's the thing that me or you would like to use them for, I don't think they're fucking made for. I think it drives them that way. Even the people that we are like hot shit, like I may catch flack for this, but Dave Smith now and Dave Smith a year ago are different. I mean, I don't have to fucking tell you. And that's kind of like a sign of the Mises Caucus.
You took the words right out of my mouth. And, you know, I'm a Legion of Skanks fan. I fucking, I used to listen to Part of the Problem all the time. Like on my commute to work, I'd listen to Part of the Problem or Legion of Skanks. And, you know, I'll still listen to Legion of Skanks, but I've just gotten bored of Part of the Problem. And then he has been pissing me off lately. This whole professional radicalism.
I want shitposting. More shitposting. Like
it seems to be working.
Today,
you saw in the group chat the Pragmatic Caucus dissolved. And that's not from professional radicalism. That's from like me and you and fucking some like 100 different 35 follower accounts posting N-words on people's account. Posts.
That's what does it. And that's what they talk about when they're like the vile people, this, that. We're the ones getting our hands dirty and driving the fucking rhetoric a certain way.
Yes.
While the people in the party just chill.
It's a case study. I'm telling you, this is going to be a case study in how to take over and radicalize an institution. Mm-hmm. And it's not even, I don't think we're even like 10% there yet.
I don't know. I guess my thing is I brought up like the incentives. I think it's just going to end up being... It's going to be one of two things. I think it's either going to slowly become the old hats, or it's going to, over time, that the good people who agree with us more are going to peter off, and it's going to revert back to the old hats. That's just kind of what I think. And you're just giving them a bigger. You're using your periods of success to fucking give let the next dude fucking kick ass.
The,
you know,
the pendulum could swing either way. Yeah. Right now, the pendulum's swinging in the right direction. Once they actually achieve a takeover, once they actually, you know, for whatever power the Libertarian Party has, which is zero.
Which is my point with the Republican thing. At least if you go the Republican route, there's actually a legit argument to be like, we can play power games.
Yes.
Where it's like, I might be wrong, but this is the way I've been thinking lately. Going the LP route, it's kind of like, why? Like, you're sullying, I know, in a sense, you're sullying the message of anarchy. In a sense, like rhetorically to some extent, because you are engaging in it and like, okay, whatever. I mean, I'm not saying that there are no like good arguments to be made, but in some sense, you're kind of muddying the water, because what we want is a government or a society free of government. So it makes sense to kind of live that way. But so engaging in politics, I feel to some extent, I mean, we can argue, bicker, or whatever, kind of sullies the water a little bit. But if you're going to sully the water, why not at least get the fucking benefits of doing it? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, where's the help? You don't get goddamn thing.
this is where Lenin comes in. In order for it to not swing back in the direction of being just the establishment that gets power and then suddenly wants to moderate, you need to install true believers at the top. Mm-hmm. You need to have people like Pete and Angela McArdle. And those type of people need to be at the top directing things, because they themselves have been down the rabbit hole of radicalization.
Yeah. But I just see it as a fool's errand. I think the process will change them. You know what I mean? So like
Dave Smith went the opposite direction. Now he's moderating.
Yeah. And like you look at Pete, like I haven't really talked to him on a personal level, but I've been I mean, I'm a big fan of Pete. Pete and Dave are probably the two people have the most have had the most fucking impact on my intellectual development, like in this space. And fucking, like, I feel like the Pete types are the types that are going to bounce once it starts getting fucking gay. You know what I mean? Because it's like, what am I going to do? Why am I trying to try to save this? And then you end up with some of the ones who were good at one point, and then they kind of start becoming fucking faggotier and faggotier to where it's kind of the same bullshit you had before. Like, and that's just, it's like this vicious cycle.
Once you win the election, then all of a sudden your promises go away.
Yeah. And it's not even to say that's disingenuous. It just means that, like, they may even be doing it from an honest perspective. It's just kind of the way things work and kind of like the changes, the decisions they made the way. It's not all of this is always some like evil, because they could legit just be like, well, I mean, I think this is a more pragmatic way to achieve liberty, you know, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, well, and
we are steadily cooking that out, putting that whole line of thinking and even talking about that line of thinking. In terms of political strategy, as far as the LP goes, that's all being filtered out and or purged out, if you will. And I don't know what the end result will be. It'll probably be nothing. It'll probably be good for maybe some localities.
Mm-hmm.
But what I hope happens is that everybody cuts their teeth on this institution, the Libertarian Party, and then take their lessons learned and move on to another institution, the NRA.
I get that, but I feel like that ignores some basic. I mean, I feel like we haven't had people explore this much. But kind of always said it was like there's an incentive problem. It's the same idea where people be like, "Well, the government would be awesome if we could just get good people in there and get rid of the bad people." And like, is that any different than this? And being like, "Well, you know, if we could get this thing to do this,
the Libertarian Party doesn't have any power. So even if it fucks up, we're like, that didn't work."
Yeah, I guess that's true. But I just feel like you kind of corrupt your message in a way, because to some extent, there is some shit to like, this is what represents us, like on a stage. So if it's a fucking joke. And, like, I know a lot of people were like, use that as an excuse to be politically involved. But anything that's my excuse to be, like, not politically involved and be like, fuck these motherfuckers. Look at these retards off in the corner and shame them off to where they don't want it. They're like, well, what are we even doing here?
All it should ever be is a nexus for radicalization. They shouldn't care about winning elections. They shouldn't care about getting a whatever percentage of the popular vote. They should care about engagement on social media and engagement on the ground.
Am I crazy? Have you even started noticing rhetoric from like some of the bigger dogs that were initially their rhetoric was like, oh, this is all about messaging. And now we're starting to get the rhetoric changing a little bit to be like, well, maybe, you know, maybe we have a shot, or maybe and it's like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, no, like this is like my point exactly. Like, you're becoming this. Like, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
Fucking go spread the message. Fucking crank up the shit posting. Call fucking Meghan McCain a faggot. Like, I don't care. Like, this is the shit we need to be doing. Like, I don't give a fuck. And people are like, well, we won't be dignified. Like, you need to set yourself apart. Like, we need to be like,
a do you want to get thing. 5 likes, or do you want to get 1,000 replies?
Yeah.
I would rather get ratioed.
Do you want to get shot in the back of the head, or do you want to have a space where you and your fucking like homies can go hang out and fucking, you know, farm together and raise a family and shit?
Yeah.
like that's the difference we're talking about, I think, you know?
And then, yeah, we hit on this before, the short term and then the long term strategy, kind of reeling it back into what do we do about these fucking collaborators, I guess. I don't know what to call them other than like faggots, but these
like the apologists and shit?
These technocracy apologists.
I mean, I have my idea of what I'd like to happen, but what's going to happen?
Well, that's the long term.
I mean, ideally, we would focus on not being able to allow that to ever happen again by making government a fucking joke that we pay no mind to whatsoever. Is my idea. Like, because that's why, if anything, like I advocate don't even be involved at all, because theoretically, like if you can get even a good chunk of people to just not even be involved whatsoever, it's just you get to a point where like they know like, yo, like fucking 70% of the people in this area aren't voting. So I don't think we have a very good grip on the fucking world here. You know what I mean?
I don't know, because that.
People will say like that 30% will rule, but it's like, are they really gonna? There's always gonna be this like, I don't think we can just do whatever the fuck we want here. That's kind of how you end up with like the rural type mentality, you know?
Yeah, it depends on how scared people are. The second people get scared or hungry, And that's usually when the power grabs start to take place. I mean, you look at the Great Depression, COVID, 9/11, take your pick. The silent majority, not the silent majority, but the non-voting part of the populace has always been like in between, let's say 35% on a really good election, on a really like tight election. Like last time, I think the non-voting portion of the population was somewhere around 40%, which is that's nothing to sneeze at. That means more people voted in this country last election than I think maybe not as much as 2016, but certainly a huge turnout. And, but at the end of the day, it's still 60% of the population's ruling over the 40%. And yes, I know I'm still an anarchist. I still think that's wrong.
Yeah.
But, it's just interesting to go into the power dynamics of like what that actually means.
Yeah.
Why did so many people turn out?
Yeah. And it's also like my big thing too, that I've thought about a lot too, is just like, cause theoretically, if we could just get everyone to stop being involved in the government, whatsoever and have nothing to do with it and just like not vote, nothing, it would basically just disappear. Like it just, cause literally the government, and this is the thing Ace says a lot, is it's literally all it is a fucking, it's a frame of mind. It's a fucking, belief that someone has the right to rule another. If you can somehow dispel that from everyone's head all at once, it disappears. It's a spook, you know? So like it's a figment of our fucking brains essentially. So if we can get people to lose a grip on that, like altogether, and I feel like this, like we're gonna be politically involved. The problem is, maybe me or you can understand the concept of like, oh, I'm just trying to fucking create chaos and do some Machiavellian shit and like pull strings to make this fucking beast die. But I feel like the message that most people get from it, I mean, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, because a lot of this shit we're talking about is like tactic stuff. So it's all just like, it's all just guesses. I could be entirely wrong. I'm a fucking retard. So like,
me too, buddy.
So like, I just feel like for the common person, that kind of gives them a buy-in to some extent. Like to them, it's like, oh yeah, okay, this is how we're gonna fix things. Whereas like, we're like in our heads, we're like, we want to radicalize people to want nothing to do with this thing. You know what I mean? And I just feel like it gets lost in the fucking sauce some ways. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think there's a, where the cultural component comes in is for you to be an anarchist or an agorist or just a dissident of any type, left, right, authoritarian, libertarian, I think that's, I don't know if it's a nature versus nurture thing, but I think some people have that potential in them, that dissident potential in them, and some people just don't. And in order to make use of the people that just don't, you have to make everything political. You have to make it so that they come to the realization that whatever system they imagine they can have and have work is impossible. Unless they start thinking outside, and unless they, like you said, no longer buy into this whole superstructure, nationalist capitalist superstructure that is the United States that we grow up that we grew up being told to love.
Hey, one thing I've been talking about, I think you might actually appreciate. This is actually something that just kind of was an epiphany on a recent show of mine. I think some of the reason why there's some actual credence to our like shit posting and being like, fuck you, faggot, and like this shit like this, like, I don't know what kind of job you have, but I've always had more like blue collar, like being a mechanic. You know, I worked construction when I was a kid with my dad.
I'm in facilities, so it's more blue collar, but I'm starting to get into the more managerial white collar stuff.
Yeah, where you can't say faggot as much anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, depending on where you're at.
Especially geographically where I'm at, I gotta just look around first.
But my point I'm getting at is I think something about this type of dark humor, this mentality, is very strongly correlated with fucking like working types, like fucking people who, or people who've had a fucking hard life or whatever. And I think there's something to that. And I think, because I've been thinking about this a lot too, like what is Ancapistan gonna fucking look like? This isn't me being crazy that we're going to get Ancapistan in our life. I actually think it's far closer to like something like agorism, to where it's going to be far more decentralized. Like, obviously, I'm not saying we all fucking, it's like The Handmaid's Tale and we all have a farm or whatever the fuck, but it's going to be far closer to this, to that, than what we have now. You know what I mean? Because it's going to have a decentralized nature. You're going to be more independent. So I do think there's something to like, that is why there's a natural reaction for us to be driven to those other people. Like the people who really genuinely seek freedom, I think are drawn to other similar people like that, because it's like a trait we see in other freedom
and
folks.
They,
you know
they
I mean?
Also happen to be like the most racist fucking shit posting fucking douchebags. Like the people I work with, the blue collar people I work with on a day-to-day basis, they're all like old construction workers, contractors, GCs, that type of shit. And they are just miserable fucking pricks that know that they're going to work until the day that they die. Mm. And that banality is something that I've come to appreciate, because at the end of the day, I know that I can go to those people with anything. Like, those are the people that I want to be around, because when they get out of work, they're fucking taking care of their kids. They're fucking drinking. They're going back. They're making sure their fucking house looks good. Like, they're culturally, those are the type of people that I would like to have a community mm-hmm. around. And unfortunately, you know, those people are all being driven out of the suburbs of cities and kind of further and further away, dispersed more and more. The working class is being dispersed, being gentrified. It's, you know, especially with, you know, you can get into monetary policy and all that shit, but, and, you know, culture and monetary policy. I was on a thread with Rollo McFlugel, who's a big Bitcoin guy. And I think it's a chicken and egg argument. Like, does monetary policy and quick, easy money influence culture because of time preference and all that shit? And, you know, I think it's a chicken and egg argument, but he doesn't. And I would love to get into that with him at some point, if he's listening. But yeah, like, just culturally, those type of people still have potential even for anarchists, because I think in order to get to anarchy, we have to go through acceleration. Mm-hmm. And agorism is part of that acceleration, especially with black market stuff, cryptocurrencies, 3D printing, firearms specifically, you know, ignoring IP. That's a... very problematic thing for, you know, our current capitalist society to, our current capitalist superstructure to kind of deal with without overreaching and becoming too tyrannical, kind of like they did with COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was thinking while you're saying that, there's something to fucking also the, with fucking, oh God, I lost that. A good point. Oh no, we're looking for the salt of the earth type people, I think it was what me and you are both seem to be like rhetorically focused on philosophically. And it's like, I don't even really necessarily care if I can get you philosophically on board with me. I've been saying a lot too, like, if I can get you to the same conclusion as me, I don't really care how you got there. I mean, I care. We can work on that later, because that might be an issue. It can make you like have other shitty conclusions of other things. But for the stuff I'm concerned about, if we're on the same conclusion, that's my prime objective. And like, I think with the salt of the earth type, you can kind of get them with like application and theory type shit. Like, cause like one example I always bring up, and a lot of people bring up frequently, is something like, say something like Uber or Lyft, as opposed to like the taxi companies. You didn't have to convince people of libertarian theory. People were just like, well, this is better. This is more convenient and it's cheaper. And I think there's something to that, like, and say with like agorism, I do think a lot of the salt of the earth types, if you can get them to kind of like start adopting those things, which they are naturally have tendencies towards anyways, you know what I mean? Like, hey, don't want you have more of your own money? Don't you want to not be like fucking, you know, beholden to this fucking company or whatever the fuck? Like, and I feel like there's something to that. It's been something I've been pondering a lot too, like the kind of people we're going for. And I think that weirdly plays into like shitposting and stuff and dark humor. Like, it's almost this way that we're using to identify our kind. And people are like, oh, you're fucking shitty. Like, dude, my best friend's a black dude. Like, I probably say nigger on fucking here, like on my GC, like 10 times a day. I don't have any hate for black people. I don't have any hate for gays. Like, I don't have any hate for anyone. I say insanely offensive shit, though.
You have more solidarity with him than any fucking quote unquote civil rights activist will ever have.
Yeah.
Because you two base your identity on, you know, your class, your orthodox Marxist class. You're both blue collar.
Yeah, and like
Orthodox Marxist, as in like how he would define you. Not me, of course. I'm talking to an agorist, so I'm an anarchist right now.
Yeah, no, it's just funny how like it is like they accuse us of like racism, anti-Semitism, whatever. But it's like I feel like these are for us. They're almost like beacons to the world of like, hey, are you going to be a bitch about this? Because if so, I don't want to fucking have shit to do with you.
Well, the only black people you know what I mean? They meet are in their fucking their college professors. I mean, yeah. they don't live in black neighborhoods. They don't fucking, you know, they've never been to a synagogue.
Yeah, no, they're the worst. Like,
yeah, the only blacks and Jews they've ever meet are in college. Mm-hmm. And they're like, all right, I checked the box for diversifying my life.
Yeah, no, they only meet the worst kind of blacks and Jews.
Yeah. Like, go on a construction site and yeah. See how you feel about them then.
I've been saying a lot lately, I mean, I guess it's kind of a little bit of a sidebar, that, like, I've lately been calling white women and Jews those that sit above in shadow. Like, those are, like, the ruling class. Yeah. White women and Jews.
Yeah. Yeah, so man.
Anyone again, who sees me say that on Twitter, that's what the reference is. That way I can't get fucking, like, shit for that.
No. You see, I was just kidding when I called them kikes.
Yeah, because that'll get you real quick, fucking yeah. Israel posting. You got to be really subtle with that one. You got to be careful. I mean, I 6 million posts a lot of time, but I got to be careful about it.
Yeah. As long as there's some context to it that you can mm-hmm. explain.
Like, I always got that Rabbi Letvin guy. I got him I remember one time he said some dumb shit, and it was so great. Like, I must have said 6 million like 3 times, but like the first one was like, I have like 6 million reasons why that's bullshit. It's just like, there's nothing they could get you for. You just said a number.
I don't know if you're in the GC or not, but Sarwark posted something. It was like an Eli Weisel quote. And I was like, which is more likely? That Nick Sarwark will ever have any influence in politics ever again. A. B. Eli Weisel actually went through a quote unquote Holocaust. Or C. None of the above.
Yeah, I saw that was pretty good.
None of the above will win again.
Yeah, no, dude. I'm not gonna lie. It's a highlight of my life shitting on Sarwark.
Yeah, and like, that gets me around again to this whole. I don't know if I agree with the whole ignoring part. People want to just be done with him, but he makes, like, getting into tactics again, he makes a really good foil. Like, he's very good for galvanizing us against them, because he represents everything we hate.
That brings in a good point. I was thinking, I meant to mention this earlier. This, I don't know if it's necessarily a good thing. Like, if I'm putting my head in the Mises caucus guy, and, like, from my perspective and how this shit works, I don't know if it's a good thing that your fucking enemies fucking bounce out the fucking pragmatists. Like, because it's kind of the point of having an enemy.
It has the potential for stagnation, absolutely.
Yeah, stagnation, infighting, like, and not the good kind. Like, yeah. Man, I'm all for fucking purifying the fucking, like, if I was going to go this route, like, it's like me and you are very similar. I very much am like, if I believe these were accomplishable goals through that fucking apparatus, sure, I just think that it has incentive issues that drive it a certain way. And that's the one thing that is like, it was an interesting turn of events. It's definitely, it could go one way or the other. Because like this, like fucking the pragmatist caucus fucking dissolving. Like this is a fork in the road. And I think a lot of people were just like cheering. But it's like, for you guys, you Mises caucus people listening, I think it's a fork in the road. Like, does this mean that you're going to start having legit art, like, discussions? Is this going to mean you're going to start ignoring these fucking faggots that are complaining about some silly blue pill bullshit and actually have legit, respectable discussions like adults? And, like, you know what I mean? Because there is a place for shit talking. There's a place for, like, hey, like, for example, me being an agorist. Like, I feel like it's a legit discussion to have in those circles of, like, is that the proper tactic? Is this the proper tactic? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, but as opposed to focusing on, like, racism or whatever. But at the same time, I do think there's something to having that dragon there to slay. Like, when it's gone, what do we do now? Like, I don't know. I'm actually kind of asking you, like, what your thoughts
are. That's the problem with populism. Yeah. Once you get power, where do you go from there? Because, the Mises Caucus is, at its core, a populist movement. It's a populist, anti-progressive movement. When you get rid of the progressives and you become the establishment, where do you go from there? And I don't think we're as close to that being the case right now. There's still a lot of fucking, there's still a lot of dragons to slay.
Yeah.
Um,
No, I agree, but it is like a very much a sign of a shifting in my head. So it's like, where does this go? I'm very interested. I'm not taking, like I said before, I'm a retard. I'm all talking tactics out of my ass. I could be entirely wrong. You guys could be you could have the magical path to freedom, and I don't fucking know. I'm just like reading the tea leaves wrong because I'm a fucking retard.
Yeah,
but like that's just the way I see it. And I do think it's very interesting this occurrence. Like, where do we go from here? Like, and I also think there's something that's like once you have, because you got to think we're in this little fucking pond. Like, I mean, not we. I mean, not Mises Caucus guy, but assuming I was, we're in this little fucking pond, and we finally are getting to the point where we're starting to dominate this pond. Like, now what? And I know a lot of we've always got these promises of, like, we're going to be lobbing bombs at the establishment. But it's like, we've kind of just been more lobbing bombs within our intrinsic little structure so far. That's all we've been doing. Which, if you're wrong, it's been fun. I've had a blast. Especially where I don't give a shit. Like,
at the very least, it's entertaining.
Yeah. So, like, it's fucking fun, entertainment value. I join in. That doesn't mean I'm one of y'all. But I join in. I fucking, you know, shit these people. Because I agree. I'm basically almost 100% on with you guys. Just tactically a little bit different. But, fucking, I don't know. I think the next step is to take
it's extrinsic. All of our gains on the bottom of the pyramid, and then push them up to the top, because the top of the institution that is the Libertarian Party is not Mises friendly at all. I mean, you've seen, I'm sure you've seen the scandals on the timeline.
Yeah. We've already seen though, some of the ones that are our Mises people, I think are already dialing back their message, which we've already talked about. So are they really going to take this template of the Mises caucus and apply it to the fucking, the big stage? I don't know. I think it's going to be, I mean, it remains to be seen. I might be wrong. Please fucking prove me wrong. Please prove me wrong. Like,
I'm not going to trust the plan. I'm not going to say, oh, fucking Dave's just being diplomatic so that he can like get the message out or whatever. Whatever, you know.
And my other thing is too, like, I mean, to play the other side on the magical chance we even get to this level of success, like, I do think you guys listening, you need to be careful to chill with the hero worship and be ready to turn on a swivel. Because if Dave Smith ever becomes a threat to the establishment in any way, shape, or form, I guarantee you the feds will be sending him pictures of his fucking wife and kids.
Yeah.
So, like, and I do, you know, honestly, I would think less of him if he didn't cave, because I'm a family man.
I tweeted that a while ago. I said the best case scenario for the Libertarian Party is Dave Smith at his, you know, presidential acceptance speech in front of the Capitol, slumped on the podium with a 308 round in his head.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best we can ever hope for.
Yeah, and I don't even think we get to that. I think it's legit. It would most likely, if I was a Fed, if I'm putting my head in a Fed, I'm just going to send pictures of his wife and kids with zero context.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe later hit him up another way and be like, hey, well, here's some talking points that'd be really cool. And that doesn't mean that they magically, immediately, completely turn, but it's little shit. Like, I mean, if I was a Fed, I'd be like, hey, maybe you dial back this messaging a little bit. Maybe you know, like nothing huge, just enough to fuck it up, you know? So like, I don't know. And do you get me wrong? I would think less of him as a man if he didn't cave. Like, that may sound terrible to a lot of people out there listening, but me as a fucking father and as a fucking husband, like, if anything whatsoever, I don't give a fuck about this gay ass politics shit. Basically anything aside, like, legitimately, I like to look at life through like an egoist lens, and like, basically, I see my family as an extension of me, and that is the thing that matters absolutely the most to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be different if I was a single guy. Like, whatever. Maybe I could just wild out and fucking go, you know.
Yeah, you'd have nothing to lose. Go ahead. Like, president. Be an anarchist. Get shot. Who cares? Yeah,
I will throw everyone in my fucking life under the bus, and if it has any, it even gives me a slight opportunity to in any way in like, fucking save my wife or kids. And I think less of any man that wouldn't, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of people are like, oh, that's crazy, but it's unless, like, or I mean, they think that's some impingement.
Your only other
character.
Option is, well, jihad.
Yeah. And it's like, and a lot of people see that as like me,
convert
like,
to Islam and jihad.
Yeah, a lot of people look at them like, oh, like, they look up to Dave and like, well, he's a more, like, super, like, morally upright. And I agree. But it's like, when in that situation, you'd be a piece of shit not to. Like,
that's his weakness. He's actually a nice guy and a decent person. And that's not what we need.
Yeah. No, we need a single guy who's fucking raising hell. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he has an extremely glaringly obvious fucking weakness. And even then, to get to my earlier point, I don't even think we're even going to get there. Because I think along the road, we're going to most likely, I hope I'm proved wrong, fucking just fold into the generic political fucking, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Just blob fucking that everyone else becomes.
Fold into the GOP. Once we've radicalized the LP and all we do is serve as a spoiler for actual GOP candidates that we, you know, DeSantis types that we probably would prefer to, you know, a progressive. If it ever gets to that case, which is really just the best case, we might as well they might as well just fold into the GOP and then we shit post against, you know, actual progressives.
I think they're just going to become the old regime in the process, really. I think you're actually probably more optimistic. So. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I mean, if anything, I actually think your fucking prediction of events that you just gave right there, which was to a lot of people listening might be bleak. For me, that's actually fucking hopeful for the things going on.
That's the best case scenario. I don't expect it. But yeah, I would say tactically, if I were to put my Mises Caucus hat on, once we start only serving as a spoiler for actual liberty-minded GOP candidates to not so much even liberty-minded, but anti-progressive GOP candidates, because GOP doesn't give a fuck about liberty. The reason why DeSantis is so powerful and so popular is because he's anti-progressive. And that's the only overlap we have with the GOP is that we too despise the fucking progressives. Just slightly more than the GOP. And that's, you know, when you're raking in fucking 0.5% of the population as anarchists, we have to take what we can get as far as politically goes and then do our agorism thing, you know, in the shadows.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess even your like best case scenario, I think, is extremely unlikely. And like, I don't know. I just think that's not going to happen. And so it's almost like I don't know. If anything, my thoughts have been like, if you're going to even play this political game, you almost might as well go the fucking throw route. Like, why are we doing this fucking like long ass, gay ass in between step?
It's a necessary struggle just to. I don't know. Yeah. It also depends on locality too. Like, you know, the GOP is just as useless as the Libertarian Party in the state of Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you were to get up on a podium and running as a Republican and say, I want to hold politicians accountable for the lockdowns, you wouldn't get on the ballot.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even get a meeting with the people that put you on the ballot.
I guess ironically, part of why I'm too so like think agorism is, and I'm very much like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm open to hear tactical arguments that prove me otherwise. I just haven't the results haven't really bared out to me to be like what you or others are hoping for. And like, so for me, it's more like I'm not saying it's the best option. I just feel like your best option is to move your life as much as you can away from the government, just period. Like, if anything, try to ignore them. That's me personally. Yeah. I mean, I might be wrong. Maybe these tactics work out. I mean, I know
don't forget, we're not earnest political. Yeah. We're not earnestly participating in this. We're doing this all for the sake of acceleration.
Yeah, no, but some of you are and some of you aren't. That's my point.
Yeah,
like,
some of us.
So,
yeah,
like, and a lot of them see this as like, cool, I'm fucking using the system. I'm going to fucking. Yeah. And they get bought into this as opposed to like your, like, I think, rational perspective, which is like, I want to use this as a vehicle for fucking accelerating shit, as moving things forward. Like, I don't know. I just don't see it happening really. Like, so it's almost like, I guess maybe I'm more like nihilistic in that sense. So it's more like, I'd rather people run away from it. Don't even give it the benefit of their fucking attention to the greatest degree they can. And start setting up a possible fucking place for us to move to, like, or decentralized systems, so on and so forth. So.
I think the only place I really see it on a larger scale is how impossible it is for ideologically different people to have polite conversation.
Mm.
And to me, that's progress. Polarization in any sphere, in any institution, to me should be developed.
Yeah, no, I agree to a certain extent, because it is very much like we get to kind of work on that divide. Like I've said multiple times, I want to accelerate the divide. And that's like where my rhetoric is very much like, and that's why I love Twitter right now. Cause I feel like Twitter, like I used to, like, I feel like it's weirdly almost like a sign of the eras. Like when I was on Facebook primarily, was when I was like, you know what? I'm focused on conversion. I want to talk the normies into being a fucking good old libertarian. I would have long, constructive conversations. You know what? I'm sure it made a difference. But now I'm at the point where I'm like, I think the sign of the times is like, shit is getting wild. So I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm concerned about my fucking family and like having a future for them. Like, it's no longer theory. This is application. Shit's fucking popping off. So like, for me, I'm like, what can I do in any way to fucking accelerate this where I want it to be? Because like, it might be selfish, because that's one thing I said recently on a recent like podcast, that like, this is to some extent selfish. I mean, my like accelerationist tendencies are very selfish because I have young children.
Well, and it's very much like self-interest.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in my self-interest to get it over with.
It's in your self-interest to, you know, have your neighbors fucking despise their local politicians.
Yeah. And that it's like for me too, with me having kids, it's like, I don't want to pass it on to them. I would like as best as I can to get this motherfucker over with, like in whatever way, shape or form that is, you know what I mean?
To have like your community have some type of skepticism of, you know, legitimized authority, you know, that can only be in your self-interest. Spreading the gospel of skepticism. And then from that skepticism to radicalization. I mean, it's, and me and you know, it's not going to fucking happen overnight. This is going to be like, it may not even happen in our lifetime, but we're planting the seeds right now. 2016, we started planting the seeds. The meme war began, but the meme war was just one battle.
Jeez, I can hear my kids arguing in the room. I'm about to fucking go beat them.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. I'm a peaceful parent, but I'm just it's very frustrating. I'm like, that's hey, a nap violation. Get along for a minute. My kids are 11 and 8, so like they should be able to peacefully coexist for an hour.
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Like, okay, awesome. That's what I have to deal with in like 20 minutes. But yeah, no, I don't know. I feel like you're weirdly somehow more hopeful for this working. And I, you know, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. And to some extent, I'm all about accelerating the shit in a certain regard. I mean, I don't know. I'm very conflicted on things lately. I mean, I've been thinking through a lot of different things, especially tactics. I feel like one thing I've been saying a lot too is I feel like our folks are so used to be goddamn binary thinkers. They're used to like, well, Rothbard said this and this is objectively that. And it's like, not everything is zero ones. Like a lot of this is subjective. I mean, say with shit like the nap. I'm so glad. Like, actually, I don't know if I'm glad or not. But there has been a push lately within like our communities to like kind of look at the nap and be like, that's fucking gay. And you know what? Like, because I do understand the utility in the nap, but I also understand that it's literally just some shit that people made up. And so, like, it's like, I don't know if you've ever read Stirner, but it's like, don't let your principles serve you, don't serve your principles, your principles should serve you.
It's like, so it's they like, literally, you know what I mean? Locked us in our houses for a year and a half and also mandated that we wear fucking bacteria collecting devices on our face and close down businesses. I mean, if like you could still believe in the nap and still want to go throw a Molotov cocktail, because guess what? You were fucking aggressed upon, bro. Like,
yeah. And it's like, and Stirner, but I was actually just reading Stirner today. He was saying something that like, essentially like making something an objective right. I'm saying it wrong because he has this poetic way of talking, but basically what I got out of it is like making something an objective right or an objective this is appealing to an authority. And so it's like, if anything, it's actually a tool of states. So that's how you end up with like with the January 6th thing where we have people of our ilk using the NAP as an argument for why that was wrong. It's like, fuck you. Like, you can argue that it's tactically retarded, which I agree.
Yeah.
But you know what? That was a morally 100% on the up and up. Fuck them.
It was immoral that they didn't do more.
Exactly. Like, if you're going to do it, fucking do it. Like, you're like, why go to jail for the rest of your life if you don't get a fucking, like, I don't know, release all their fucking server information or fucking, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, like Lee
in Minecraft, string up like a politician.
Lee Enfield put it the best. He said it was like a bunch of animals that escaped from the zoo and were out in the wild, and they didn't know how to exist outside of that zoo.
Yeah.
They didn't know what they could do. So they just kind of walked around and, you know, took a shit on somebody's chair and, you know, took a laptop because it would be funny. And then, you know, and then all the other zoo animals that they left behind turned them in.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think one thing people need to realize that, like, I don't even know why this is really that fucking, like, controversial. There's a lot of people who just don't even understand this concept. The government, by its very existence, is aggressing against you.
Yeah.
At this point, it's just about tactics. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's not, we're not even talking morality here. Like, I mean, sure, maybe we can get into a proportional argument, but I don't know, whatever. That's more like shit to quibble about later after you've already strung up the politician. Like, you know, that's the way I see it. Like,
I mean, probably just... paid. How much does my fucking company fuck me over? How much do my state taxes fuck me over? How many times have I been pulled over? Yeah, maybe we shouldn't have hung him, but
yeah, I mean, it may have been a little bit light, but you know, what's done is done.
Maybe given him the chair, it would have been a little more proportional.
Exactly. I mean, and that's kind of where I would like things to go. I just think that has its own group of problems that come along with it.
Yeah, but, yeah.
So, like, I mean,
well, that's where decentralization comes in.
Yeah, you know? That's where there's like
not a one size fits all solution.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and that's why, like, what I advocate for, like, it is kind of, like, a dark part of me is kind of like, man, it'd be way cooler if there was way more violence involved, but it's kind of, like, tactically speaking, I'm kind of like, well, this makes most sense, because it's, like, you're literally dealing with a monopoly on violence. Meeting it offensively in any situation is almost certainly not going to work
out
for you.
They will out-violence you, and, yeah. You know, I can't Fed post too much, but, like, you know, I don't think we're at that point yet.
Yeah.
But if you disagree with me, then more power to you.
And then ironically, too, like, people would be like, well, if you look at us, we can totally take them on. But it's like, well, what happens? You have government. You end up essentially putting in a new government. So you had government fight government, and the government won. And
it'll be like that scene in Braveheart where, like, the fucking Irish mercenaries for the English army, like, charge at them and then stop and shake their hands and join them. That would be like that would be what it is. Yeah. They'd be like, oh, fucking, it's cops and the military.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just, while I do a dark masculine part of me is very much like violence would be super cool. And it is also like, I feel like a lot of it is just like, that's just to us, our base instinct. And like, we just want to fucking kill. And like, that just seems right. Like, it'll fix problems. But sometimes we got to rise a little bit above the biology and be like, well, I don't know. I think we got to be a little smarter. I don't think that's going to work out well. I can just fucking kill my way out of this.
Yeah. No, right now is a good time for nuance and experimentation.
Mm. Yeah, and like I've said, I mean, you know, with experimentation, I hope I'm wrong. Like, I come from a tactical perspective. I know a lot of agorists try to make the moral argument or whatever against it. But for one, morals are spooks. They're fucking gay. Yeah. But then, like, two, it's like, even then, even if I accept that, it's like, I don't even understand the moral argument of how voting is fucking, like, immoral. Like, that doesn't even make sense to me. Like, a lot of people be like, well, you know, in effect, it has this or that. But it's like, now you have this weird, skewed moral system that, like, is completely based on outcome. So it's like, what kind of tenable moral fucking system is that? You know what I mean?
I mean, you can believe that voting is useless, which it is.
Yeah, that's what I agree. Think. Yeah.
But to say that politics are useless, that just defies reality. When your kid is going to school and, you know, comes home and says that, you know, when your son comes home and says that he's a girl, and then you take him to the doctors, and then the doctor, basically kidnaps them and puts them in a fucking gender therapy, then I mean, that's political.
Yeah, and I've always said I look at it from a tactical perspective. It's a matter of, like, I'm not saying I'd never vote. It's more a matter of, like, if there was some magic, like, they somehow dropped an agenda that was legit, like, and totally going to be just a popular vote type thing, and it was, like, say it was something like the income tax, like, I'd be fucking retarded not to. Like, I mean, there are obviously hypotheticals. And that's where a lot of agorists get in, like, retard land, where they go like, well, I wouldn't do that because that's not principled. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah, like,
what exactly has principles gotten anybody?
Yeah. And also, there's necessarily agree that it's not power. Principled. I just think, because I look at it from a tactical perspective, whereas a lot of people make moral arguments, which don't make sense to me. But it's like, at the end of the day, when it comes to, like, voting... To bring it down to, like, a very base, like, analogy, you could almost be like, if I took two guns and had one gun to my wife, or someone took two guns and had one to my wife and one to a random stranger and asked me to pick, like, it's not immoral for me to pick. Like, in a sense, that's kind of at a base what even the worst case scenario of voting is to some extent, like, principally speaking. Like, it's not immoral for me to make a pick. If anything, I feel like it'd be immoral for you not to in that situation. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're just going to probably get them both killed or get your wife killed. So, like, I don't know. That's kind of way. Like, I don't understand the moral argument. I would love for someone to sometime try to make, but every time I've ever heard someone make the moral argument, it just sounds like incoherent babbling.
I mean, elections in general are elections and what are they called? Ballot measures and all that. All they are is a vehicle for propaganda. Everything leading up to that is an opportunity to push the Overton window. You know, if there's a ballot measure that's going to raise taxes 3%, it's an opportunity for you to go in and say, no, I want to raise taxes fucking 30%. Like, why only 3? Do you hate fucking poor people? Like, why don't we have a better school? Why don't we have better roads? And then that's where you get into the accelerationist thing. That is not libertarian whatsoever. It's not principled. It's about power. And it's about power dynamics and using them, utilizing them to accelerate.
Yeah, no, and I just don't even necessarily think that's not principled either. I just think it depends on what your principles are, I guess. Like, and I don't understand the moral argument against it. Although I take the tactical argument of I don't think it works out well. I would much rather advocate breaking away from the system and moving people that way. But you know what? That's just a tactical decision. I hope I'm wrong. You know, like, I guess in a sense, I wish all you Mises Caucus people the best. I don't know. The signs don't look good to me. I don't know. I see some of the writing on the wall. It sounds like you might be a little bit too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I mean, like, I'm cautiously optimistic. Yeah. I have a vision of what I'd like to see happen. I think it has the potential to happen. I don't expect it to.
Yeah, I guess for me, I'm like hanging on those bases, and like if it does go tits up, I can be there like, hey, well, you know, like, you know,
told you so.
So it's like, I don't know. I mean, I guess in a sense, it may be one of those things in a backdoor kind of way. I guess the biggest thing I'm worried that it will just like the movement will get hijacked and driven a certain way. Yeah. And it will kind of just be, if anything,
it'll moderate. Even worse, it'll moderate. I hope it gets hijacked by more radical people.
Oh, yeah,
but
that'd be fucking
if it moderates, then that sucks.
Like, for example, this Jeremy Kaufman shit going on lately. I don't know if you've been paying attention to that. Dude, you can maybe quibble. Like, he was the LPNH guy, the guy who did the LPNH shit. And that was one thing, I guess, Dave recently was kind of getting mad at him because he was saying what he was doing was shitposting. I'm 100% what he's doing. He is the way. Like, I think more of us need to be like, that motherfucker, yes. And then I don't know if you heard, like, there was a big hullabaloo on Twitter today, and I got a lot of shit for it. There was some fucking, I guess, I don't know the whole entire story, but Jeremy, I guess in some fucking like committee meeting, like there was some fucking, I think it was someone who was talking shit. And then Jeremy Kaufman, I think in the chat, said, suck my dick. And then the kid said something like, I'm 17. Apparently later, I guess supposedly the kid is now 15. But what we heard is like at the time is that he said it was 17 or whatever. Maybe I'm wrong. But he said, like, I'm 17, like, or whatever.
That's, oh,
like,
I'm sorry. I meant kill yourself.
Yeah, no, but no, then Jeremy doubled down and goes, if you're old enough to talk shit, you're old enough to suck dick. Which to me is, like, super base.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see how that would.
But I understand where people are, like, offended by, but it's like, are you literally trying to tell me he legit was like, hey, young child, come over here and literally suck my dick? Like, well, we clearly didn't mean that.
Put yourself in the mind of the opposition. I mean, they're going to fucking parade that around. Oh,
he's but you know what? I'm about that, though. I'm about that. Like, you know what? Because, like, I tweeted something at some point today. It was a subtweet, and it was like, the best thing about this whole situation is it perfectly highlights the dumb, the fucking, the dumb, the dishonest, and the pussies, and especially the dumb, dishonest pussies. So, like, that to me, it was like, you know what? This is a great example of, like, let's highlight who our enemies are.
Absolutely.
Let's put them on full display. Because, you know what? They immediately did the predictive thing, and they started accusing, because I had Tower Power Hour, and me and a few other guys, and we had Jeremy on, and we talked about it. It was literally, like, less than 5 minutes, and they freaked the fuck out about it. But for me, I was like, hell yeah, like, you know what? Go ahead and parade yourself around the world and accuse us of being pedophiles while you get to, like, show yourself as a fucking shit.
What's his name? Gus?
Yes.
I saw that.
Yeah. No. So to me, that was like, great. Fucking show yourself as a piece of shit to the world. Like, to me, that was like, great. For me, it was like a great time to identify or to galvanize my allies and to fucking identify enemies.
Yep.
That's what
it's, and it's always good practice to brigade people.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people are like, oh, you're giving ammo to your fucking other side. Only if you fucking fold, you pussy. Yeah. Like, I know a lot of people are like, well, it's unprofessional. It's like, He was at a fucking LP meeting. I'm pretty sure he was literally in the live chat at one point. Like, they had the Zoom link and everything. And he's talking about this shit. He's literally in a political meeting, and he's going to fucking feign offense because someone told him to suck a dick. Now he's magically a fucking child. Fuck him. Fuck that kid. I don't give a shit about him.
Yeah.
Because a lot of you are like, well, he's a fucking child.
He should not suck any dicks, but he should kill himself.
Yeah, I know a lot of people get all upset. I'm like, were you never fucking 15, 16, 17, whatever this kid was? Like, if I was talking shit to some adult in real life and he talked shit back, I wouldn't be like, I'm a fucking kid.
Yeah, like, yeah, sorry. Unless you wanted to be tactical. Unless you were very smart and wanted to yeah. go for the, I'm going to make this guy look like a pedophile. That's actually pretty smart. But unfortunately, don't have the numbers to leverage that.
But the thing is, too, with that, like, because that's kind of what he did. He was kind of implying everybody wasn't pedophiles. But it's like, mm-hmm. you know what? Most people know what's up. They know who the good people are. It was a good way of being like, these are not our kind. Mm-hmm. Fucking, you know, ignore them. Let them fuck off. Yeah. And so to me, that was fucking beautiful. Like, yeah. I love that whole situation. And I am all for the Jeremy Kaufman route. I'm not saying that specific scenario. Maybe I could make some mild quibbles. Maybe not the best. But whatever. But also when he's like been running the LPNH, he's been super provocative and exactly the kind of messaging I'm looking for. But you know who fucking like was quibbling about his fucking messaging? I mean, we mentioned him earlier.
Yeah. Good old so like Gus.
No, not Gus. I'm talking about Dave. He was
Yeah.
He has multiple times. He said a couple times that he was not a fan of that messaging. And it's like, because like for one, I guess a big thing is that he made the LPNH count said something about sending fucking governors to Gitmo. Yeah. He's like, well, that's not the official position. I don't give a fuck.
Motherfucker, that got like 8,000 likes.
Yeah. Like, I don't give a shit. You know what? Yeah, they should go to Gitmo. Like, whatever. We can quibble about the official libertarian position, but do they deserve violence upon them? Yes, the fuck they do.
Yeah. Again, we're asking for a mile and like demanding that they get sent to Gitmo. But you know, if they get like fired from their jobs and have their lives ruined, we'll take it.
Yeah, no, it's just, I don't know. It's weird. I'm very much like, is like torn. Cause I mean, I am not a fan of like using the word hero, but if I'm going to have any, it's probably Pete and or Dave. Yeah. And so it is like very weird. Some of the shit I've seen lately where it's like, I don't know. I mean, I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt, but kind of a little disappointed in some of the messaging. And I'm like, I expected I was very much promised more of a fucking firebrand and a fucking bomb thrower, and it seems to be very much kowtowing.
Well, he wants
to
be the next Ron Paul, and unfortunately, like trying to be exactly like Ron Paul means, you know, having some bangers that would have been bangers back in 2008, but now we see them on our timeline every day.
Yeah, it's 2020. It's not whenever the fuck Ron Paul ran. Also, you're not running the Republican Party. So, like, you also don't have that contrast of, like, being that much different from them. So, in the party you're at now, you got to be fucking a goddamn firebrand.
You don't have to be an old white dude in a suit.
Like, you should be calling for Fauci's fucking head. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the kind of shit. Like, I mean, in an unironic sense. You know, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure a lot. I know this is kind of going to the Mises Caucus people was your intention for this. So I'm sure I'll get a lot of shit for this, but just I don't know. I'm just kind of disappointed because there was a part of me being the aggress I am that I was kind of like a small part of me was like, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong. But if anything, I've got to say the past, like, I don't know, 4 or 6 months, whatever, if anything, have just made me more convinced in my current position. And I want to be wrong. I want to believe that magically we're all going to fucking hoorah and get together and we're going to fucking, you know, or even move liberty in a positive way, which I'm not even sure about that. Yeah. Like I just see maybe not milquetoast messaging because it's like good messaging comparatively speaking, but it's like I see a trend moving a certain way.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. So
I think we'll have more insight into like the composition of the Mises Caucus and how they approach the problems that they're having or the problems that we see. I think we'll get a better insight after Porkfest, which is next week, I think. Yeah.
I think something too with the shitposting and where they want to avoid it is, like, one thing Hoppe said was that we need to make a mockery of the state. And what could make more of a mockery of the state than the third major fucking political party just being a legit shitposting fucking political party? And, like, just...
I didn't even think about that. What could make
more of a joke of the state, and not in this gay-ass Vermin Supreme type way, in, like, a legit, like, hey, we're fucking shit-talking, but we're fucking... We got some grain of truth here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're not playing this stupid fucking... Oh, well, we're civilized, and we want to get the normies on our side. Fuck the normies. Like, we're fucking go time.
They
we need
no
fucking
potential.
Get the remnant going. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's been something I think a lot lately, and it's fucking bugging me. Like, I don't know.
I would advise you to be patient, give it, like, another 6 months, and then form your conclusions from there. I think after Porkfest, we'll have a little bit of... We'll have some tidbits of... information, whether good or bad, and then definitely after the Libertarian National Convention, we'll have a much better idea about.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think the major fork of the road, though, what I'm seeing right now is this pragmatist fucking dissolution, because it's like that is a very much like where do they go from here? Because that's I feel like that's a large part of their opposition that just kind of whoosh, and then now we're gonna have this situation where. A lot of those people might stick around and go to different caucuses. So it's like, are they, I feel like it was you that said something at one point that like, we should be like very much like, not we, but I keep saying we, but like the Mises Caucus people should be very much like not extending olive branches. Like, here's what we're doing. If you want to get on it, cool. If not, fuck off.
Yeah. Go to like, the Green Party. Time.
Yeah. And like, I think that not to say that they're, I mean, there's, I mean, I guess they're kind of mostly still in that way, but there is some little aspect of like, oh, well, we're friendly to you, buddies. Where it's like, those are going to be people later that kind of like fuck you over. Yeah. You know what I mean? Especially now that we're getting to the spot where like, hey, the opposition is gone. So now it's like, well, now there's opposition within us. You know, I say us again as the Mises.
Yeah.
But,
and
so
if
I don't
we
know.
Have to, if we have to turn inward and look at problems inwardly, then again, ideally, in my idea, it would be a good idea to look at more moderate, unironic conservatives, you know, constitutionalists that also care about decorum. I mean, if there has to be kind of an internal audit of the culture of the party, then it should be directed at those type of people, those moderates, those centrists. You know, how amazing would it be to kick their asses out and just have, even though you'll have less numbers, you'll still have the same exposure, but only anarchists.
Yeah, which I mean, I'm definitely about if that was the thing that I thought could happen. But I don't know, like I've said multiple times for people listening, go fucking prove me wrong, or maybe, you know, heed the things I've said and maybe come to your own conclusions and maybe come join me in the Agora.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, who fucking knows? I mean,
well, here's my thing. I'm doing both. I'm not going to get into too much, but like I enjoy me a good black market endeavor or two, as well as, you know, doing my political acceleration thing. As you know, I'm pretty tangential about both. I wouldn't say I'm definitely not 100% in on the political involvement. And I'm definitely not 100% in on the agorism involvement either, but I dabble.
It's funny. It's kind of in a weird way. Once again, we're kind of like in a very similar spot where I'm like, me and you are both hanging out with the same people. It's just that like, and I'm just maybe rhetorically we're slightly different because I'm very much, I'm still like, I'm kind of here guiding them towards where I would, it's weird because it's like, I'm in one hand guiding them towards where I would want them to be in as a Mises caucus. And on the other hand, I'm also kind of like, but if you, also guided them towards the light, but like if these faggots don't do this shit, you need to come with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that's kind of where I'm at.
Like agorism has nothing to lose by either just ignoring everything going on in the political realm or just shutting up about it. Because, you know, if it blows up and nothing works, then you're going to have a lot of these people like myself that got involved as anti-progressives, they're going to go back to just full-time agorists. I mean, I'll get my fucking mining rig up and running and, you know, get my fucking Ender 3 in my basement and just do that more, devote more time and resources to that than I do to, you know, going to fucking Pork Fest and shit.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, to put up for my fellow aggress a little bit, I always hate the argument of like, well, why not both? Or why do you even care? Because it's like, if you're an aggress and you genuinely believe what you're fucking saying, you are saying that, like, basically the general aggress perspective is that you guys are either wasting your time or you're actually even possibly moving Liberty backwards. Because it's like, you guys could be doing better shit. And so, like, there is something to that, like, honestly, if you believe that and you don't try to, like, talk people into that, I feel like you're kind of a little bit of a piece of shit. Like, why would you not, if you genuinely think you have the truth, why wouldn't you share it? And I get, there's a difference between that and being cunty. Because I do think that the big thing with aggress, a lot of people hate about aggress, is they are very much cunty and shit on people for having their thing. And that's why I, like, shit on aggress that use the objective fucking morality fucking perspective. Because it's like, I do feel like that's their way of being like, well, I'm right because of this. And I'm going to use this as a fucking appeal to authority. And haha, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be able to convince them tactically, whether it is objectively wrong or not.
You can teach objective morality to all those kids that you don't have. Like,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
keep that shit in your house and your family and your community. On, like, on the internet, no. Like,
yeah. I just think also there's a method to talking somebody into your shit and being a cunt. I mean, in some sense, it's good for identifying who's on your team. But if you're trying to convince people towards your way, not the way. So I think, like, I don't know. That's why I see a lot of people, like, shit on people that, like, think, agree with us, like, 99%. But then, like, that 1% of they believe you shouldn't utilize the political system, people will shit on them. But it's kind of their own fault because they're fucking cunts about it. You know what I mean? So, like,
if you're going to be a cunt about it, it should be to push. It should be to radicalize. Like, I'm
and even in strategic.
I'm a giant cunt to people that I don't like.
Yeah.
Because I don't see any potential in them to be useful other than to be, other than to drop their love of the system.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's different for, like, aggress, because I guess for me, like, I see ANCAPs as allies and there are benefits. So if I'm to convince an ANCAP to come the aggress route, there's no, like, animosity. We just have a difference in, like, for me, a difference in tactics.
Yeah.
So, like, but, like, now someone that I can tell is a fucking enemy, I am completely on the up and up of being dismissive, call them a fucking faggot, whatever, like, get them out of your face, let them go to their status hellhole, and, like, you know, like, let them have their little fucking authoritarian bliss or whatever the fuck. Because there's no point in wasting your time trying to change them. There is, I feel like we're, especially now in this current age, there very much is this, like, we don't have the time for Facebook interactions and being like, well, let me tell you why this and this. Like, you know, like, we need to figure out who's on what team and fucking move on.
Yeah.
And so, like, when it comes to, like, ANCAPs, even if we disagree on tactic, I don't comprehend the concept of being cunty to them. Cause it's like, why would you be dismissive to someone that, like, you completely agree on with everything except for the tactic? Like, you're just like, that's it. Like, and on the same, yeah, same end, like, I think the same thing applies to ANCAPs. I think they need to be more forgiving of those cunty ones and realize that these are people who believe they have the truth. Let them be the obnoxious religious fucks and maybe listen to some shits they have to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think in terms of, like, the utility of ideological alliances, agorists, ANCAPs, and as I've said before, Marxist Leninists.
Yep.
You know, anybody that wants to, and anybody that can watch somebody in the street throw a Molotov cocktail at a bank and not say a goddamn thing about it.
That's a good friend to keep.
Yep.
No.
All right, man. I think we've done it.
Yeah.
We've officially remembered the Holocaust.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't really know. I think 6 million was a little high, but
yeah. We'll take a moment of silence for all around 200,000 or so-ish victims, and carry on.
That doesn't seem like enough. We need more.
Stay tuned for the next one. All right, man. Thanks for coming on. Hey, do you have any plugs?
Oh, shit. Are we still recording? Okay, yeah. Plugs, yeah. I'm the No Way Jose YouTube channel. I'm also just about everywhere audio podcasts are at. Hit me up on Twitter. I'm a little toasty. I've had a few beers, so, I mean, I don't think I have any other ones, but, yeah, that's good. Fucking follow me or not. I don't give a fuck.
Nice. That's the attitude to have. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, no problem. It's been fun.